It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
All right, welcome back. Final hour of the Late Show, News Talk 830 WCCO. I'm a proud member of Kappa Alpha Psi fraternity, and I bring this up because there's so much good that fraternities and sororities do throughout our country, throughout the world. But being in a fraternity means that you need to be responsible and you need to be a good member because you're part of a group. And right now, fraternities and sororities have a problem that needs to be addressed. And the problem that needs to be addressed clearly is the issue of hazing. I was never hazed when I was going through the process of becoming a member. It was about learning the material, doing the things to honor those that came before me, and being an upstanding member of the organization that I am going to embark on trying to get into. Okay? There were things that I was asked to do, that I was tasked to do, and I completed those tasks. But not one time was a member of my fraternity, the people that pledged me as I was going through the process, ever put their hands on me, ever demeaned me, ever made me doubt myself, put me down. That's not what part of pledging a fraternity or wanting to be a part of a group is. I know that many, many years ago that there were, because times change, right? But years ago, yes, you saw that that would happen. You would see that individuals would, you know, paddle people or, you know, have them do physical things. There was a certain amount of just, you know, mental stuff that they would put on you to see if you were going to break. And I don't think that that does anything to help an individual grow closer to you as a brother, or if you're trying to become a member of a sorority as a woman. It just doesn't. It doesn't make you a better woman. It doesn't make you a better a man in any regard. So I think that we have to, as a country, tackle this issue. And it's come up again in the last couple of weeks because there was a young man recently at Southern University by the name of Caleb Wilson. Caleb Wilson was hazed, pledging Omega Psi Phi fraternity. He was a 20-year-old that was a band member for Southern University, and he and others were pledging one night, and there's more information that's starting to kind of come out of everything that was happening, but it sounds as though one of the members of that fraternity that he was pledging, the pledges were in a warehouse, and reportedly he was punched in the chest. It caused him to collapse, and he became unresponsive and died. My heart breaks for his family. I know that his father is a retired police officer who was a member of that fraternity. So this young man was looking to become a legacy, the same way that I am a legacy. And my father came before me, and this is one of the reasons why I wanted to be a Kappa, was because of my father. And because of other people that I've grown up around, some very accomplished men that are proud members of Kappa Alpha Psi fraternity. And so I always viewed these men as achievers, people that have done great things academically, but also wanted to be great people in our community. And you guys know what community means to me. To see that in 2025... when we know that hazing is unacceptable, we still see it happening, and we still see men and women dying. You hear these horror stories of on campuses where pledgees are tasked to drink just ridiculous amounts of alcohol, and we've seen some of these stories where they pass out, they're unresponsive, and they pass away. Or they're harmed to the point of they're just not able to function as a human being anymore. What is the point of getting into a fraternity or sorority and treating somebody in this manner? Why would you want to have somebody go through a process of trying to become your part of your brotherhood or sisterhood, and you have them do ridiculous things, or you harm them physically? What is the point in that? There isn't one. And I don't want to hear from people that are in groups and they say, well, we did it because, or we're doing it because it was done to us. At some point, you got to grow up and you got to say enough is enough. We don't need any other individuals dying in our country from hazing in fraternities. It's pointless. The point of being in a fraternity is to be a good member of the fraternity that's going to do great things and be part of that brotherhood. Now, I've met several, you know, Kappas in my day. And in the media, one prominent member of our fraternity is Ryan Clark from ESPN, the former NFL cornerback, LSU cornerback, and he talked about this situation of hazing and specifically this young man dying on his podcast, The Pivot. And I think he brings up some great points because I know that his process was probably a little bit different because he was a star football player at LSU. And there were certain things that, you know, he probably felt like he didn't have to do because of his stardom that he already had. But I think that we have to wake up and understand that you are pledging a fraternity. You are not joining a gang. Right? Like, this is not, you know, we're not gangbangers. Okay? We're esteemed men, and we have to treat it as such. This is what Ryan Clark had to say.
The Divine Nine, right, was started in the early 20th century to uplift and educate Black communities. Right. It wasn't meant to be this thing where you had to walk around like those colors meant you were in the game. We ain't Crippin', right? This ain't Bloods, right? It shouldn't be necessarily this physical initiation to it. I pledged in 01, right, at New Iota, and they called us the White House because we, there was a different level of intensity that went into the way we party, to the way we live, to the way we pledge, right? Like, if you was going to scroll, you weren't going to skate, and I got that. Of my line, bro, I was probably the person that needed or even wanted to be a noob the least. I didn't need friends. I didn't need popularity. I didn't need to be seen. I was a junior. I had all that. You know what I'm saying? And there were cats, man, when I walked in on the first night, who that's all they had talked to me about since they had been at college, that just couldn't take it, right? I'm not a Kappa now because I wanted it the most. I'm a Kappa because I can learn under adversity. You know what I'm saying? I'm a Kappa because I'm tough, right? And I made a decision the night I walked in, and the first time somebody put hands on me, it wasn't but two way I was leaving. I was leaving as a Kappa or beating your ass. That's not what it's supposed to be. Right. We're not trying to show people that we could be the toughest humans in the world. We're trying to be the smartest. We're trying to be the closest. We're trying to be the ones that sow back into the community, because that's the reason the Divine Nine was created, because we couldn't be a part of these other Greek fraternities, because those fraternities and sororities were white. So we had to build our own thing to uplift each other.
Yeah, that's what it's about. And I'm glad that Ryan Clark talked about that on the pivot. He does a phenomenal job, but he gets it. He understands. Like, when I think about the people that are part of the history of my fraternity, of Arthur Ashe, I think about Wilt Chamberlain. I think about Bill Russell. I think about the guys now that are part of the fraternity, like a Colin Kaepernick and others, and Ryan Clark. It's about achievement. It's not about, you know, being a tough guy. That's not what it's about. And one thing specifically with black fraternities and sororities, there is always the academic part of it. Because in college, there is a difference between black fraternities and other fraternities, and specifically white fraternities. There's the social aspect of it, but you got to get that academic piece too. And so, you know, whenever I see these horror stories about young men losing their lives, joining a fraternity, no parent sends their child to college to die. No one does that. No one does that. No one sends their daughter to college to die. It's unacceptable, and we have to understand that in 2025, this should not be happening anymore. For that young man who was 20 years old, a member of the Southern University band, which is a well-known band in historically black colleges, for him to be pledging a fraternity in a warehouse with other pledgees, and for somebody to punch him in the chest and he collapse and die, man, I just can't even... Chris, I can't even fathom the heartbreak of his father. His father is a member of that fraternity. His father getting a phone call as a retired law enforcement official, being told that the fraternity lied and said about the circumstances that surrounded his son's death, and to hear and find out what actually took place, man, I don't know how he's going to get past that.
Well, it sounds like, you know, based on everything, you know, that you talk about with, you know, your fraternity, that it's a big part of who you are, and you have a lot of, you know, personal deep connection to it, and it is important to you. And to have this young man be, you know, a pledge and a legacy, and to have this happen to him, and then, you know, your father is also involved in that. I mean, that would just have to bring back so many emotions, because you've invested so much goodwill into this. And now it takes away the most precious thing that you have as a parent. The most precious thing that you have is your child. And any parent will tell you that. You know, granted, I've been around fraternities. I've never pledged to one. But to me, Henry, it seems like it used to be built on, you know, mental toughness and humiliation. How much humiliation are you willing to endure in order to show your loyalty? I go back to the Animal House. You see things like that, you know, old school, where it was kind of this comedic, you know, this is kind of what it is. It's supposed to be comedy, but, you know, there are real life ramifications, and it's just unfortunate that this keeps happening.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'd love to get, you know, maybe there's a person too that would like to react to this at 651-461-9226. I'd love to hear from somebody because, you know, it's funny because you bring up like a classic movie like Animal House, and we still have, you know, situations where if you drive through the University of Minnesota campus, you'll see sometimes where we have the fraternity house and stuff like that. You'll see the toilet paper and everything all across the yard, and you'll see the, you know, like, because everybody's been to a keg party, right? Like we've all done the college thing.
No.
But to think that, you know, when you have people that are pledging to be a part of a group, asking a young person to drink, you know, a bunch of alcohol to prove their worth as a rite of passage, like, I don't get the sense in that. You know, maybe there's somebody out there with a story. I don't know if you do. But, I say this with regards to fraternities and sororities because, you know, as somebody that likes to deal in the area of academia and you know, going to college and just really just loving that part of my life, this really could be a part of other groups too. But the other groups that you're going to try to get into, they're drastically different, right? Like there's a lot of other type groups that you will try to get into as professionals, and you don't have to deal with all of this stuff. This is a social, academic, college thing, or even post-college, because you can be you can do it as a graduate person too. And it's just I think that we have to reevaluate the do's and don'ts with all of this. But in no way, shape, or form is hazing acceptable at all. I don't even think, you know what, I got another thing. There's something that has bugged me for years that I want to bring up with regards to hazing, and it's not related specifically to a fraternity. We'll take a break. I love to get a phone call, love to get a text, 651-461-9226, but I'm going to bring it to professional sports, and we'll do that next year on The Lake Show. You know, there's another layer to this, and it's bigger to me than just fraternities and sororities when we talk about the hazing thing. So I know that there'll be some individuals out there that will scoff or laugh at this, but I mean this. I mean every single word of this. In professional sports, Chris, I'll take it a step further. What I think is embarrassing is, and I know it happened for many years, but I think that this needs to stop too, is when we have situations, for example, you have a rookie that gets drafted into a professional sport, and they're out with the vets, and the vets try to rack up this massive bill. And then at the end of the night, as part of a rookie initiation, they'll pass the bill and expect this rookie player to pay the bill for all of these grown men that are ordering things way beyond what they actually have eaten, ordering bottles of Cristal and all these ridiculous things. And they walk out of and then you got a young person. I don't care what the contract is. I don't care if they're getting paid. Their first contract is 4 years, $20 million, or whatever. I don't care what the money is. But they're stuck with a $50,000 bill. That's unacceptable. If I don't care if I was a first-round pick, second-round, whatever. If I was in a situation like that, and I'm being real, I would tell them, go to hell. I ain't paying this. Because it's insane. Like, that's why do that? Like, what's the purpose?
See, and I don't necessarily mind something like that, because I feel like that's not anything that is done, you know, out of malicious, you know, intent.
What's the point?
Well, it's to, you know, have a good meal and the rookie's expense. So you're not physically hurting anybody, and if you're not going to put them in financial peril, then
but you are, though. Like, what is actually the point? What is the point of a person sitting there, and not only do they have a steak or whatever, but they're ordering bottles of alcohol to go? Like, that's embarrassing to me.
I don't feel like, you know, these athletes would do it to intentionally bankrupt their, you know, their teammates. I don't feel like that's any sort of a damage that's going to be done, you know, unlike the alcohol, you know, poisoning or, you know, physical actions. You know,
but you still haven't answered the question of what is the point? Like if you are, let's say that I'm the vet and you're the rookie, you're the shiny new toy that's coming into the organization, and Henry Lake sits there, and I've got my surf and turf, which is, okay, that's fine. But then I tell the waiter, yeah, I want a bottle of Cristal, and give me your two most expensive bottles of wine and put it on his tab. Like, what would actually be the purposeful point for me of doing that? There isn't one.
I just, to
that's
me,
well, economic harm on that person.
Well, and I don't think there necessarily has to be a point to it. I think that's, sometimes you can do things and there's not really a point to it.
See, I think that's a sad state of the world.
But I think that's probably more common than what we would really, sometimes things are done and it's like, what's the point? We're like, I don't know what the point is. There is no point to it. Again, I mean, if you're not physically hurting somebody or, you know, going to make them, you know, file a bankruptcy or anything like that, I would think that these vets in a situation like that would know, you know, there's a certain limit that you can't go, you know, absolutely way over the top if you know a player's making a certain amount of money.
No, but what is the limit? No. We're not seeing cases where guys are saying, oh, the tab is at $75,000, we'll just stop. No, we've seen it more. Des Bryant had a situation where he told the guys, he was like, hey, y'all not going to keep doing this to me. Like, I think that in sports, people think that doing ridiculous things like that, sticking guys with the tab like that, is acceptable because it's not physical. And they're athletes. They got a lot of money. I'm totally, and people can disagree with me all they want. I know that you're disagreeing with me. If there's not a purposeful point to it, and you're doing this with no meaning whatsoever, as just some sort of rite of passage, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I don't get it. I think that, think about this. You know what we'd be better off doing? Saying that kid, you know what I would rather do? I'd rather do this. I would rather say, hey, I know that, you know, typically guys are going to, as a form of hazing, they're going to take these bottles and this stuff. You know what I'd rather you do? I'm just going to order just a light meal here, but I'd love for you to donate $1,000 to my favorite charity. That makes more sense to me.
We know that ain't happening.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah. No, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I understand where you're coming from. To me, I am an awful person because I'm in the camp that I don't think that it's all that big of a deal if you're doing something that would be within this rookie's limits, you know, everything that they can handle. I just feel like if you're not physically hurting them or putting them in a position where it's going to have long-term ramifications, then, you know, go out and have some fun as teammates.
From the 763, they say, my son is on a frat. I think they're probably saying is in a frat at ASU, and hazing like you are thinking doesn't happen anymore. Tight regulations on it. They even have to have sober chaperone Saturday parties now. First off, I don't know what frat your son is in, and congratulations on him. Like, you legitimately can't tell me that hazing doesn't happen anymore when we're talking about a story of a kid that just recently died because he got hazed. I mean, that's not a legitimate take.
Like, maybe ASU where they're at, maybe they've got the chaperone, so maybe it's more.
No. If the point is hazing like you are talking about doesn't happen anymore, it happens all across the country. Like, that's the thing. I think that most people knowledgeable about fraternities and sororities would agree it's still a thing. We read stories from time to time about hazing. Everybody knows that hazing still happens. Come on now. Like, I'm talking about it. We just played the clip from Ryan Clark. It still happens. It's not It is not a thing that no longer happens. Even in my fraternity, okay, and I love my fraternity, I get emails once every I don't know how many months, and they say that this chapter has been suspended, or you'll see cease and desist letters about stuff, whatever. Because you got to be honest with yourself. One of the big problems when we start going down this road with all this stuff, like if you don't get insured, because you got to have insurance.
Yes.
You know, with your like. You lose insurance because of a situation like this, you're done for. You're done for.
Oh, you can't be a liability.
Maybe there's no hazing done at ASU. I wish there was no hazing done on any campus, anywhere. But that's just not a real take. Like, we know that hazing happens. We're talking about it. What were you going to say, Chris?
Oh, no, I would say you don't want to be a liability when it comes to insurance, for sure. So, yeah, hopefully it's starting to minimize a little bit. And, you know, it's not as much of a thing. You know, it's too late for some people, but I guess it's never too late to fully try and implement that change.
And from the 651, Henry, I and many others are so glad you are back. I appreciate that. I don't get a chance to listen often, but every time I do, you are intelligent, insightful, compassionate. It's always a great show. Thank you. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that text. We try to, you know, every night we won't agree on every single different topic. Some topics will just be light, you know, extremely light, and we'll joke and we'll have fun with it. There's going to be certain issues that I'll be super passionate about and just, you know, talk about my experience in the world. But man, this one right here, super duper sad, because this is something, put it like this, it's avoidable. It is avoidable. It should never have happened to that young man losing his life. But some conversations are unavoidable. We will get to that after weather right here on The Lake Show.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
You know, sometimes conversations are just unavoidable. And it's hard to, in life, be in certain jobs, and at some point your job ends up putting you in a position, especially when you got to deal with the media, and you're asked questions that maybe you do not want to answer. Okay? And so that is what has come up in the world of soccer with the U.S. men's national team manager, who did not want to talk about politics, as we've got a matchup coming up between the U.S. men's national team and Panama. And Mauricio, I think the pronunciation of the last name is Pochettinone. He was asked about, some comments of President Donald Trump regarding the Panama Canal and its sovereignty. And it's creating a little bit of tension, and which is understandable, right? Because we know that President Trump says a lot of things and it makes people feel a certain way. We had the same situation with, a month or so ago? It was the hockey bit with Canada and the USA, right? And the four nations. And Canadians felt a certain way. I felt that they should not have booed our national anthem. I didn't think that they should have done that. I understood their sentiment. They were upset. They were angry. Do I think they were booing the team? No. Do I think that they were responding to our leadership? Yes. I still thought that they should have respected us, right? But that's in the past. It didn't happen. They booed the national anthem, whatever. They ended up winning the Four Nations, whatever. And the manager said that, quote, "I think it's a big mistake if we talk about politics, because I think people aren't waiting for us to talk in this way." So I understand when a person is put in a position that's awkward, that they want to focus on the game. This gentleman is a soccer coach, right? Like, he's a soccer manager. He wants to focus on the players and winning the game, okay? And the game is tomorrow. He wants to focus in on that. There are times, though, in life when things are thrown your way and they're controversial, and you got to be prepared to answer the question. Now, I'm not trying to shame the coach in any way in saying that he should have spoken to this. All I'm saying is that it's not going to go away. I guess that's the point that I want to make, Chris, is that it's not going to go away. Like, he's been asked about it in the lead up to the game. If the U.S. doesn't win the game, and it's the atmosphere is off the charts and it's festive, like, do you think that he's not going to be asked about it again? Like, he's going to be asked about it again. I think at some particular point, you need to come up with a couple of bullet points or a couple of things. And you don't have to say anything to like put President Trump in a bad light or mm-hmm. whatever. But I think that you do have to be prepared for whatever's going to come your way, because not saying nothing at times doesn't exactly get you out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't ignore it and put your head in the sand. And I think that's just kind of a position of a lot of people. It's like, you know what? I really don't want to deal with it. I'll just kind of look the other way. I'll ignore it. You know, as I say, you know, I'll sidestep it. But at the end of the day, even if you don't like it, it's just going to get more and more uncomfortable, because people know that you're avoiding it. People know that you're not wanting to address it. And guess what? The more that you don't want to address it, the more that people are going to poke the bear. So
you can address it and not be controversial. You can say, yeah, it's making it maybe maybe it's making it a bigger game. But I'm just trying to focus in on the game. I'm not, here to debate. you know, President Trump's thoughts about it, or I don't have a particular feeling one way or the other. But like, ignoring it doesn't always play out in the best way.
No, and especially when it comes to certain things. I don't know if I'm going to break any news out there, Henry, but I think when you...
If there's not a purposeful point to it, and you're doing this with no meaning whatsoever, as just some sort of rite of passage, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I don't get it. I think that, think about this. What we'd be better off doing? Saying that kid, you know what I would rather do? I'd rather do this. I would rather say, hey, I know that, you know, typically guys are going to, as a form of hazing, they're going to take these bottles and this. You know what I'd rather you do? I'm just going to order just a light meal here, but I'd love for you to donate $1,000 to my favorite charity. That makes more sense to me.
We know that ain't happening.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah. No, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I understand where you're coming from. To me, I am an awful person because I'm in the camp that I don't think that it's all that big of a deal if you're doing something that would be within this rookie's limits, you know, everything that they can handle. I just feel like if you're not physically hurting them or putting them in a position where it's going to have long-term ramifications, then, you know, go out and have some fun as teammates.
From the 763, they say, my son is on a frat. I think they're probably saying is in a frat at ASU, and hazing like you are thinking doesn't happen anymore. Tight regulations on it. They even have to have sober chaperone Saturday parties now. First off, I don't know what frat your son is in, and congratulations on it. Like, you legitimately can't tell me that hazing doesn't happen anymore when we're talking about a story of a kid that just recently died because he got hazed. I mean, that's not a legitimate take.
Maybe they've got the chaperone, so maybe it's
No. If the point is hazing like you are talking about doesn't happen anymore, it happens all across the country. Like, that's the thing. I think that most people knowledgeable about fraternities and sororities would agree it's still a thing. We read stories from time to time about hazing. Everybody knows that hazing still happens. Come on now. Like, I'm talking about it. We just played the clip from Ryan Clark. It still happens. It is not a thing that no longer happens. Even in my fraternity, okay? And I love my fraternity. I get emails once every, I don't know how many months, and they say that this chapter has been suspended, or you'll see cease and desist letters about stuff, whatever. Because you got to be honest with yourself. One of the big problems when we start going down this road with all this stuff, like, if you don't get insured, because you got to have insurance.
Yes.
You know, with your, like, you lose insurance because of a situation like this, you're done for.
Oh, you can't be a liability.
Maybe there's no hazing done at ASU. I wish there was no hazing done on any campus, anywhere. But that's just not a real take. Like, we know that hazing happens. We're talking about it. What were you gonna say, Chris?
Oh no, I would say you don't want to be a liability when it comes to insurance, for sure. So yeah, hopefully it's starting to minimize a little bit, and you know, it's not as much of a thing. You know, it's too late for some people, but I guess it's never too late to fully try and implement that change.
And from the 651, Henry, I and many others are so glad you are back. I appreciate that. I don't get a chance to listen often, but every time I do, you are intelligent, insightful, compassionate. It's always a great show. Thank you. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that text. We try to, you know, every night we won't agree on every single different topic. Some topics will just be light, you know, extremely light, and we'll joke and we'll have fun with it. There's going to be certain issues that I'll be super passionate about and just, you know, talk about my experience in the world. But man, this one right here, super duper sad, because this is something, put it like this, it's avoidable. It is avoidable. It should never have happened to that young man losing his life. But some conversations are unavoidable. We will get to that after weather right here on the Lake Show.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, sometimes conversations are just unavoidable. And it's hard to, in life, be in certain jobs. And at some point, your job ends up putting you in a position, especially when you got to deal with the media, and you're asked questions that maybe you do not want to answer. Okay? And so that is what has come up in the world of soccer with the U.S. men's national team manager, who did not want to talk about politics as we've got a matchup coming up between the U.S. men's national team and Panama. And Mauricio, I think the pronunciation of the last name is Pochettinoni. He was asked about, you know, some comments of President Donald Trump. regarding the Panama Canal and its sovereignty. And it's creating a little bit of tension, and which is understandable, right? Because we know that President Trump says a lot of things and it makes people feel a certain way. We had the same situation with, what was it, a month or so ago? It was the hockey bit with Canada and the USA, right? And the four nations. And Canadians felt a certain way. I felt that they should not have booed our national anthem. I didn't think that they should have done that. I understood their sentiment. They were upset. They were angry. Do I think they were booing the team? No. Do I think that they were responding to our leadership? Yes. I still thought that they should have respected us, right? But that's in the past. It didn't happen. They booed the national anthem, whatever. They ended up winning the Four Nations, whatever. And the manager said that, quote, "I think it's a big mistake if we talk about politics because I think people aren't waiting for us to talk in this way." So I understand when a person is put in a position that's awkward, that they want to focus on the game. This gentleman is a soccer coach, right? Like, he's a soccer manager. He wants to focus on the players and winning the game, okay? And the game is tomorrow. He wants to focus in on that. There are times, though, in life when things are thrown your way and they're controversial, and you got to be prepared to answer the question. Now, I'm not trying to shame the coach in any way in saying that he should have spoken to this. All I'm saying is that it's not going to go away. I guess that's the point that I want to make, Chris, is that it's not going to go away. Like, he's been asked about it in the lead up to the game. If the U.S. doesn't win the game and it's the atmosphere is off the charts and it's festive, like, do you think that he's not going to be asked about it again? Like, he's going to be asked about it again. I think at some particular point, you need to come up with a couple of bullet points or a couple of things. And you don't have to say anything to like put President Trump in a bad light or mm-hmm. whatever. But I think that you do have to be prepared for whatever's going to come your way, because not saying nothing at times doesn't exactly get you out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't ignore it and put your head in the sand. And I think that's just kind of a position of a lot of people. It's like, you know what? I really don't want to deal with it. I'll just kind of look the other way. I'll ignore it. You know, as I say, you know, I'll sidestep it. But at the end of the day, even if you don't like it, it's just going to get more and more uncomfortable because people know that you're avoiding it. People know that you're not wanting to address it. And guess what? The more that you don't want to address it, the more that people are going to poke the bear. So
you can address it and not be controversial. You can say, yeah, it's making it maybe maybe it's making it a bigger game. But I'm just trying to focus in on the game. I'm not, you know, here to debate, you know, President Trump's thoughts about it, or I don't have a particular feeling one way or the other. But like, ignoring it doesn't always play out in the best way.
No, and especially when it comes to certain things. I don't know if I'm going to break any news out there, Henry, but I think when you say the word Trump, I think it's just polarizing and it's going to elicit some sort of a response, even if it's meant in a neutral way, even if you're using it in a factual statement with no emotion or no political intent at all. But you can say it and have it be a neutral statement and not have it be inflammatory. But I think the problem is, no matter what you say, if you so much as mention the president's name, then people are going to look at it as, well, you're making a political statement, even though it could be the furthest thing from the truth.
Yeah. And see, I think you bring up a great point, a great point. And the reason why I say it's such a great point that you just brought up is because not every time when you speak about something that involves President Trump is it necessarily a political statement. You know why? Because you were asked the question. It's not like he just brought it up on his own.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it's exactly. You know, I mean, if people are going to ask you a question, I feel like you give them an answer. You owe them some sort of a response. And I think we're in such.
I guess yes and no to that. I guess yes and no. Like, I'm not sitting here saying that he owes us some big political take on Panama. That, I'm not saying that. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that not in every situation, though, are you going to be able to ignore it and get away with it. Now, with this particular situation, I don't think it's something that people are going to continue to harp on. And the reason why is because we got the NCAA tournament going on, and this is going to be buried. Like, we're talking about it now on the show, and it's on ESPN.com, whatever. But like, tomorrow when the main game starts
11:15 tomorrow, this is a non-story.
Yes, it's a non-story, and they're playing tomorrow, and it will be a non-story. So, but at other times throughout the year, you don't have that same luxury, so you got to be prepared at all times.
Absolutely, and you get through it, and then guess what? It's going to go away. That's like you said. It's the timing of the story. It's like a Friday afternoon news dump. This is going to go away because the NCAA tournament starts tomorrow morning at 11:15.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, man. I'm totally with you. All right, 651-461-9226. Final segment of the Lake Show coming up next. All right, final couple of minutes here on the Lake Show. A couple of programming notes. I am off for the rest of this week, which means tomorrow and Friday. Chris Tubbs, who you hear nightly on the station, he's hosting tomorrow night. So he will take you home tomorrow night. And then on Friday, Dave Schwartz will be filling in for me alongside Jonathan Lowe. I'm going to be back on Monday. And on Monday, I won't be on from 6 to 9 because I will be filling in for Jason DeRussia from 3 to 6. So a lot of mixing and matching here the next couple of days. How do you like that, Chris? Maybe Chris doesn't like that at all.
Say what? No, I'm. You know what? One of the engineers, Jenna, she's in here, and I was just chatting her up because she's trying to do her job, and I'm trying to impede her doing her job.
That basically, we're going to be mixing and matching host here the next few days, and I'll be back on Monday filling in for one Jason DeRussia. And how you like that?
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. I'm going to see you in passing. We can tag in, tag out.
I can't believe we got no snow. Everybody was prepping for snow. The Twin Cities got no snow?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
are you sad?
No, I'm not sad. But in fairness, we do have state tournament time. And you know that, I mean, you just got to wait, right? You just got to wait because you know what's going to be coming. We're going to get something out of the blue. It's going to be 75 degrees and sunshine in the morning. And then, bam, we're going to get hit with like 4 or 5 inches. You know that's how it's going to happen because it's state tournament time.
I hope not.
See, your phone just dinged. See, that's your weather alert. That's your weather alert.
No, that's my friend texting me a picture of them. They're vacationing, and they told me to guess where they were, and I looked at the picture. They're in Hawaii. Oh.
Oh. Isn't that where you're at? I mean, you're someplace tropical, right? Like, I don't even know where you're at.
No, I replaced the astronauts. I'm up at SpaceX.
SpaceX, yes. I hear that's a popular thing now.
I'm just hanging out. I'm just hoping it's just going to be an 8-day trip as opposed to a 9-month trip.
Yeah, good luck with that.
All right, everybody. Chris got you tomorrow night. Dave Schwartz had you on Friday, and I will talk to you Monday. Filling in for Jason DeRussia.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.